got a lesson on his heart. And the wonderful thing is that he didn't know until Friday, but he's going to be here this week and next week. So we thank you for that. And I don't know what the college department's doing down there without you, but we're glad you're here with us. And come on up and teach us from the Word.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As there's two microphones here. There's a lot of sound coming out of me. Yeah, I'm just extremely thankful for the opportunity. Pastor David, my pastor, said that this is a community that we have been privileged to partner with you guys for years. And I'm super thankful to be part of this long line of men that have served you well. So I do not take this lightly. This is a tremendous privilege for me, tremendous honor. So if you have your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 1. And before we jump in there, I'd like to talk with you really quick, just a little bit as we think about our world, right? I think for myself, I've had Facebook for so many years already, and I don't think there's ever been a point in my life when my news feed has blown up with so many news about what's happening in the world. Never in my life have I seen so many different causes being appealed on social media and people talking about what is happening in our country and the world abroad. And it's significantly so, right? There's a lot happening in even our nation that may make us feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. We, as Christ followers, recognize that whenever God's word is not done justice to, or much more than that, whenever God's image is marred by our culture, we rightly need to stand against that and recognize this is an error. So I'm thinking of so many different causes, be it gay marriage, be it things like human trafficking, which is very significant, even for young people like myself. That's what young people like to talk about nowadays. Or even more so, things like ISIS, like your brother mentioned earlier. Those are significant things happening in our world that demand our energy in one way or another. And they do take our attention. But as we study Scripture, we recognize that God has a different cause in mind that doesn't do away with those things. Yes, those things still matter. Those causes just mentioned, we still talk about them. But when it comes to talking about what then is our mission, God has a different plan in mind. God is not so much concerned to make a moral America, so to speak, or even a civil world. God is far more concerned to see his fame spreading in every corner of the globe, to see Christ followers loving one another, serving one another within the context of the church. And this is how God reaches the world. This is how God plans to change the world, not through government primarily. No, primarily he does that through his church. He does that through his church. What did Christ say to his disciples? Right? He said, the world will know you. You know that you are my disciples as you love one another. It is under those parameters then that we as Christ followers need to think about, okay, what am I going to spend my energy in? What is going to dominate my thinking and my resources? Where am I going to invest myself in? No other cause is more worth your time and my time than the gospel cause. So with that, let's take a look at how the Apostle Paul thought about this. In verse 24, he starts off in chapter 1 of Colossians saying, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. He has, up to this point, has gone in an explanation of the gospel to these believers, telling them that Christ, he is Lord over everything, preeminent over all aspects of creation. And everything in creation exists to serve the Lord Jesus. And because of that, once he comes into the world and does his work of redemption, now all that was broken by the fall, because Jesus is on the throne, he wins back to himself. He says in verse 21, just to give us a little bit of context actually, he says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Paul explains the gospel to these believers in these terms. You were once far off from God, and now you're brought near. You were once enemies of God, hostile in mind, he goes on to say. There was this war between you and God. And what Christ does, he makes enemies friends, even more so. Right? We know that in Scripture, Paul also teaches that those who have been reconciled to Christ also become heirs with Christ. They are adopted into his family. So not only were we enemies and now we're friends. No. We're enemies and now we're his children. A glorious reality. And that is the beginning of what Christ has brought to pass through the gospel. But then Paul, from this point on, based on the gospel that he has been privileged to preach, he gives in these few verses that we're going to talk about today, more or less his philosophy of ministry. This is what Paul is about. And ultimately, this is what all Christ's followers must be about as well. As I said earlier, verse 24, he starts off saying, "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." For your sake. Now, just to say that you rejoice in suffering is already a hard task, is it not? It is not normal to smile when things aren't going your way, correct? But not just that, Paul says, "I rejoice in my sufferings, not because I'm super Paul, but for your sake." For your sake. He's saying, my sufferings have a unique purpose here, and they are meant to benefit you. And now we start asking, okay, what do you mean, Paul? What do you mean by that? He goes on to say, "I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." And now if you're like me, you have a big question mark when Paul says, "I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." Because, okay, should we think about in these terms? Was there anything lacking in Christ's death? Was his work not enough? Is that maybe what Paul's talking about? I don't think so. Thank you. You think so as well. No, he's saying something absolutely different. So maybe to illumine this understanding a little bit more, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, just a few books before, Apostle Paul writing to a different church, speaking on a similar subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a familiar text to many of us. In verse 5 of chapter 1, he reads, "For we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer." And if you turn to chapter 4, just next page over in 2 Corinthians, he will say, verse 10, he will say, "We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." And this is where the nail hit the head. In our suffering, something is being communicated. And I think what Paul is referring to when he says that what is lacking before you is the presentation aspect of Christ's suffering. Think about these. These believers, these Colossian believers, they weren't anywhere near Jerusalem when Jesus died. They heard it word of mouth. In fact, they weren't even Jews, so they heard like the second to third mouth kind of talk about it. They had no idea who Jesus was before a missionary came to them and talked to them about the gospel. So they hear, yeah, Jesus died for me, and I have life because of that, and that is glorious. But Paul here is saying, there's something more that you need. Yeah, his death has been completely satisfying for you. But for your growth, you need to see someone suffering well for your benefit. So that, as he said in 2 Corinthians, in me carrying this life of death day by day, you see Christ. You have a little better understanding of what it means for Christ to die for you. Because I suffer for your benefit too. Whatever circumstances they may be, it is for your benefit. And this is really our first point. Paul has this parameter here that because of the gospel, I can endure all things for the sake of the church. Whatever my situation, whatever my circumstances. Because the gospel has so affected my life, because it is such glorious news, that for the sake of my brother, I want to suffer well so that he may see that, yes, Christ is reliable. Christ, I can depend on him. And he does come through. And let's just take a sidebar real quick. Think about it in your own life. I think, in my experience, I remember one specific case. I had a youth pastor when I was in high school that I'm from Brazil, for those of you who don't know me, and I had just finished high school. I had gone back to visit my family in Brazil. I spent 3 months away. I get back, and my youth pastor picks me up from the airport. And this guy, he's one of, to this day, one of my best friends. We haven't been in ministry together for years, but we still catch up, and he's a great joy to be with. He had invested in my life for years before that. I would leave my high school, and 5 minutes later, I'll be in his office, and we'll be talking about the scriptures, where he'll be discipling me consistently. So this youth pastor, he picks me up from the airport, and I'm away from the country for 3 months, and I'm telling him, hey, what's going on, Tim? Like, what happened? Anything new? And he's like, and he's telling me the first thing, yeah, actually, it's been really hard 3 months. My wife actually left me out of the blue. I came back from seminary one day, and I find her car all packed up with her stuff, and she says, Tim, I'm not a believer. I can't do this. I feel this is not okay. And I get the news on a flash moment like that. And that was probably a month before I landed, and he was just struggling for that time, having a hard time, rightfully so, right? And I'm seeing my brother suffer in a very real way, a brother that I love and is dear to me. And I still remember the conversation in that car. I still remember the song that was playing on his stereo. I remember if you're familiar with the Ministry of Sovereign Grace music, there's a song, I Have a Shelter in the Storm. And to this day, whenever I think of that song, I think of that situation. And situations like those, seeing people suffer and wanting to honor God in their suffering, wanting to serve me in the midst of his suffering, thinking of my needs, thinking about the things that I need to grow. Those seeing Christ being enough for people in those situations, I think I understand the gospel a little bit better when I see that. And Paul is saying that this is what God has called me to. He has called me to a life of suffering, not in isolation, but in your midst, around you. He says in verse 25, I became a minister of the gospel according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Paul was not the kind of pastor that would just come from time to time, give an amazing sermon, and go back to making tents and do his own living. No, he was a pastor that was intimately acquainted with his people. And the other way around too, his people intimately knew him. So much so, right, that we would read the end of like any epistle of Paul, and what do you see at the very end? You see a list of name after name after name that Paul is saying, greet the brother, tell sister Phoebe to do this and that, or tell brother Rufus that he's great, that his prayers have been answered. There's an intimate fellowship between Paul and his people. And this is how gospel ministry happens. This is how the gospel cause happens. When we in community, when we deal with one another's shortcomings, absolutely, but even more so, when we bear one another's burdens. I think, again, Jesus' example and Jesus' words, actually, in saying, this is how the world will know you. This is how the world will know that you're my disciples when you love one another. This is how this church and Christ's followers at large can make an impact in the world. When you care for the person sitting next to you, when you love them when they're most loveless, and when they're doing the same thing to you when you're in that place, that is when the gospel cause is propelled forward more and more. Let's go on, verse 26. It says that the mystery of the gospel, it was hidden for ages and generations, but now it's revealed to his saints. That this gospel news that I have the privilege to be part of, We are in it together. We are driving on this mission, bonding arms and heading forward. In verse 27, to them, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, Paul is exalting the gospel to the nth degree. He's saying that because the gospel is valuable, because the gospel has so worked in your life, this amazing miracle, which is really true, especially for those of us who do not have Jewish descent, right? We hear of the story of Jesus in a whole different context. But yet, those who were definitely far off, you know, those people particularly, Christ has brought together to be his church. And it is a glorious thing when those who are as different as can be, right, ethnically, background, I mean, I'm from Brazil and I'm talking to you guys, right? That is very different. Clear, plain English, I hope. That is a glorious thing that God would do through the gospel in uniting all peoples to himself. Different kinds of people. People that by nature should not be together. Unite them in mission. This mission. That we would proclaim the name of Christ in our daily life. So this is our first point. Because of the gospel, we can endure all things for the sake of the church. And in our second point, starting in verse 28, Paul will say that because of the gospel, therefore, we can strive and work as hard as possible for the sake of the church because of the gospel. We read in verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is Paul's goal. As even he said earlier, right, in verse 21 again, 22 actually, he says that God has reconciled you for this purpose in order to present you holy, blameless, above reproach before him. That is why God saved you and I, so that we would look like Jesus. And then Paul is saying, my mission as a Christ follower, not even as an apostle, I would say as a Christ follower, my mission then is to proclaim this gospel. Warn everyone, teach everyone with all wisdom, all the resources I have at this disposal for this cause. Why? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Are we beginning to see why it is so valuable and so important that we minister to one another in this context? Are we beginning to see maybe that this is why when we suffer together and grow in community and grow deep roots on the gospel, this is how we mature and this is how God's purposes are taking place? That is why. That is why God's plan for this world is through the church. Is through the church. Because in Christ followers, imitating him, then the world will hear and see visibly through people, actual people, broken people. Even still, God makes his gospel clear as we live day in, day out. The simple, ordinary means of life. But again, in community. In community. Paul would even go on to say in verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy. Did you notice that? His energy. That what we need to not just deal with one another, but to serve one another well, what we need, that is supplied for us. God does not call us to do Rambo missions. That's how I talk with our college students. God does not call us to do Rambo missions where we just become superpower, have all the ammunition, all the weapons, and we just save the world solo. That is not how God does it. No, no, he supplies everything we need. And I would have even ventured to say that massive amount of that supply comes from the person sitting next to you, from your neighbor, from your church community. I know for myself, it's a pleasure to bring two of my friends here because that supplies me energy. That serves me well to have that, to even have that talks in the car driving up here. God supplies all that we need for his work. And he does that primarily, I would say, through people. Now, friends, just as a way to cap these things out and maybe draw it to conclusion, like I said earlier, we live in a day where we should be frustrated, right? We should be times even angry and rightfully at times even lament, right, over the state of how things are. That is, it is a sad thing when sin is called a beautiful thing and celebrated in our world. It is a sad situation, absolutely. But let us not let our circumstances distract us from the mission. Amen? Amen. There's a clear mission God has given us. Spread Jesus' fame to your neighbor, to your classmate, and through our brother in Turkey, and to every other end of the world. That is the mission. And that starts when we serve one another. I'll pray, and we'll continue with our service. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you call us with a high calling, absolutely. But thank you that you did not leave us alone. That when you call us to endure, when you call us to strive, both are done by your grace. We need that grace, moment by moment. I pray, Lord, that for those of us here, maybe visitors, I pray, Lord, that they would see in this church a community that loves you and loves one another. That is an accurate depiction of who Christ is. Father, again, I pray that our desire would be to proclaim the name of Jesus, and all our energy, all our resources would be in investing in that mission. Protect us from being distracted. There's nothing more glorious in this world to do than to make Christ famous. Help us, Lord. Because that is your design, that is your plan, and we have the privilege of being part of it. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you that the gospel is proclaimed here. Be honored with the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Where's my slide guy? I think I hear him. There he is. Let's all stand and worship. A lot of you may have heard of this hymn. So let's stand and worship together and continue our day and just give thanks for such amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet.
I've really been blessed. So let's go in peace. And Lord, thank you for being here with us this morning. What a great time when we come together to worship you. And Lord, we have come and done that today. So send us out here from this place with worship to you on our hearts every moment today.